with that, will you pray with me? Lord, may the words of my mouth and may the meditation of all our hearts and minds be acceptable and pleasing to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Birthdays. I got three of them coming up in my house. First service, you missed the joys and concerns, and Kylie, Aiden, and Maddie all have to have hands up. Kylie raises a hand and says, Thursday's my birthday, only 4 days left to go. Maddie raises her hand, 7 days till my birthday, and Aiden raises his hand, 23 days till my birthday. Yes, we're counting down from 23. They're so excited birthdays are coming. And what's part of the birthday tradition but birthday candles, right? Imagine a birthday candle. I really meant to bring a candle this morning. And light it so we could look at that flame. Well, those would be really big birthday cake flames. I hope you don't have birthday candles that big on your cake. But imagine a birthday candle. Imagine that flame. I'm one that could sit forever and watch that flame and the way they flicker and all of the characteristics of it. And it's just beautiful, especially when you put a whole bunch of them on a cake and you see that glowing light. It's just amazing to see. Of course, one of the sad things about birthday candles is they only last as long as singing of happy birthday, and then they all get extinguished, right? Unless you've got James's trick candles that just keep coming back to life. But anyways, so these birthday candles. But think about that candle. When you add another candle to the birthday cake, like I like to sit and reflect upon that flame, it gives you the ability to sit and reflect upon the last year of your life, right? What has happened in the last 365 days since we lit the last candle for my life? What are the good things? What are the things I accomplished? What are the things that I did that I was hoping to do? What are the things I did that I didn't even dream I could do? What were the joys and blessings that happened? Who was it that came into my life and added to the joy of my circle of friends or my circle of my family? What are the things that excite me about that candle on the cake to say I had another year of life? Of course, there's also the ability to look in that flame and think about if there were disappointments, if there were places that you wish you had been or things that you'd wish you had done and they didn't happen, if maybe there's griefs or disappointments and losses that you had. There's so much that could be reflected in that. Of course, you get even further than that, and you think about that candle. And that candle can be like our life. That candle can just be that simple, contained flame that stays where it's supposed to stay and does what it's supposed to do and lives out the life it's supposed to live, and it's just right there as it's supposed to be. And some of us do pretty well at staying within the lines in life and just staying in that safe zone, doing what we're supposed to do and day to day, and boy, that's a good way to live life. But then that candle, and we in California can reflect on this especially, that one flame in a quick instance can turn into a wildfire, right? One flame dropped in the wrong spot, one little spark, and all of a sudden you've got a wildfire. And there's some years of life that seem like instead of that one little contained flame, that year has just been a wildfire that's just been out of control and in places you just don't want it to be. Or maybe it's been on fire of going, wow, look at how much I was able to do that I couldn't even imagine. This is the nature of a candle. This is the nature of life. And this is where I go on this Pentecost Sunday, to think about one more candle on the birthday cake of the church's life. The church that began almost 2,000 years ago. That day that they were gathered up in the upper room once again. The upper room where they'd had that Last Supper. And now the upper room for Pentecost. And thank you, Maddie Joy, that paid attention. Pentecost was, yes, 50 days, but 50 days after Passover. They hadn't yet started marking 50 days after the resurrection, but 50 days after Passover, Jews would once again gather. They would once again be together in Jerusalem. They would once again go through the liturgies and the prayers and the songs, and they would be in one place. So here they were doing just that. And I find it interesting that we don't spend much time talking about the Jewish holiday of Pentecost, because people coming all the way from Rome and all the way from Asia and all the way from Mesopotamia and traveling from all these faraway places to be there for Pentecost makes me think that it's a little more significant that we've given credit for, that people would go to that extent, that expense, that time sacrifice to be there to honor that celebration and that day. But that's what they were doing. They were there. People from far away all gathered together. And what happens, and I know I say this every year, and every year for the rest of my career I'm going to say this, Hollywood really needs to make the Pentecost celebration, because I could just see Hollywood going crazy with the special effects on this story. But here we have them, potentially up to like 120 people gathered in the upper room. And here they're in there to celebrate and honor the day of Pentecost, and says they were all together in one place, all together. And suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. Now imagine this church, okay? We're like them. Every Sunday morning, we come here to honor God, to be together, to recite the liturgies, sing the hymns, hear the scriptures, and experience the word of God, just like they were doing in that upper room. Let's call this our upper room for today. Here we are in the upper room. Now imagine if we were going through the regular routine, doing what we were supposed to be doing, going through the rhythm of life with God. And all of a sudden on this day that's like any other day, like any other Pentecost, no expectation of something crazy happening. And here we are in reverence. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, from heaven, a violent rushing wind sound fills this place. Imagine just that. It would probably shake me right out of my boots if that kind of a sound happened. But it doesn't end at the sound. The sound wakes them up. The sound brings them to life. The sound makes them see that something is happening. And once God's got their attention through this wind, what happens? But then they saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. Are you picturing this in your head, church? Are you picturing if we were sitting here and suddenly the sound of a violent wind from heaven woke us up, because I know some of you sleep during the sermon. I went home last week, and I zoned out at one point, I'll admit. I zoned out, and the time that I zoned out was when the pastor was talking about Wizard of Oz and going home, and I zoned out thinking about Wizard of Oz, and all of a sudden I heard my name. He said, oh, Stacy Brooks is visiting. See, she's home for the Sunday. I was like, wait, I'm awake. Don't tell him, but but violent wind that wakes us all up. And then what do we see? We hear the wind, but then what do we see? But tongues of flames coming down, separating and residing on each person. Imagine suddenly a tongue of a flame landing on your neighbor. This is not an ordinary day in Jerusalem, to say the least. Tongues of flame falling down on each and every one of them. And it's important to note that it's each and every one of them. It wasn't on the leaders. It wasn't on the most devout. It wasn't on those that were there from Jerusalem. It was on the whole crowd that these tongues of flames came down. And I skip towards the end of this because the most important question of Pentecost gets asked in verse 12. And amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, what does this mean? It's not what's going on. It's not what's happening. What does this mean? What does this mean that this violent rushing wind came in? What does it mean that these tongues of fire came down and resided on each and every person? Why in the world are we on fire? It's kind of like the burning bush if you go back to Moses. saw the burning bush, and it was like, what in the world is going on? Why is this bush burning but not being consumed? That kind of a fire, burning on each person, but not consuming them or harming them. What does this mean? And it gets answered in the next verses. Because immediately, they all start talking, right? If this starts happening, I'm going to start talking to my neighbor and ask them about what does this mean? What's going on? What's happening? What in the world is God doing in this place? And here's the thing. People were from everywhere. People were from everywhere speaking their native tongues. This is something interesting that I see. And I haven't picked up before. This is the funny thing about being a pastor. You read these scriptures year after year, and things come up, and you're like, I've preached 12 different years on this text, and I've never noticed. But here I noticed. When they talk about, wait a second, you speak a different language than me, but I understand you, means they were all in that place speaking different languages, not understanding each other before the Holy Spirit came. Have you ever picked up on that? Imagine if we were here at church Sunday after Sunday, and everybody spoke different languages, and we couldn't talk to each other. Imagine if I couldn't pass the peace of Christ to Ray and ask him how his week was doing because he only spoke Tagalog and I only spoke English. Or to try to talk to Petty, but she only speaks Indonesian and I only speak English. This is what they were doing. They couldn't communicate with one another because they spoke different languages. Why do they speak different languages? We go back to Genesis, the Tower of Babel. What happened? Moses is up on the mountain talking to God, getting more commandments, getting more instructions from God to bring down to the Israelites to try to help them be a healthy community. And while he's gone, this community that needs to become a healthy community says, we're a little scared. We don't think Moses is coming back. We got to do something. I got an idea. Let's build a tower so tall it'll get us to heaven, and then we can ask God for real what's going on, right? This sounds like the most ingenious plan I've ever heard, okay? They decide to build a tower. And God sees them working together, building this ridiculous tower, and says, this can't keep happening. They're going to destroy themselves. So what am I going to do? I'm going to scatter them and make them all speak different languages. And if I divide them by languages and I divide them by geography, then they can't all work together and try to do something that's going to damage them. So going back to the Tower of Babel, we have God dividing people by languages. But then do you see what's happening here at Pentecost? The people of God who've been divided all in different languages so they can't communicate and work together against God. By the power of the Holy Spirit and these flames that come down, they can all speak their native languages, but they can all understand one another. You see, God had power in this flame that he had been bestowing upon individual leaders one at a time. Here's the flame of my power on Abraham, on Moses, on David, on the prophets. Individually, I give you my power, I give you my word, I give you me behind you. And individually trying to lead God's people. Like that single flame of the candle, those individual leaders can only do so much. But at Pentecost, that single flame erupted into a wildfire. And God said, now my presence, now my power, now my strength and my might and all that I am is upon all of my people and all believers. And the first thing it's going to do is it's going to make it so you can be you. You can speak your language, and those around you will understand you. What a great power in that. For people, two people, different than one another, but understanding one another. See, here we have the power of Pentecost, where there's the birth of the church. There's the Holy Spirit that came and dwelled upon God's people. But then there's the power that unites people who had once been divided and separated. I had to think this week about what that power means. And I've thought about where I've felt misunderstood. Those times that I've wanted to say something, if only you knew what it was like to be a woman. If only you knew what it was like to be a woman in ministry. If only you knew what it was like to be a mother. If only you knew what it was like to be skinny as a rail. If only you knew what it was like to not have much of an attention span. If only you knew what it was like not to be able to sing. If only you knew what it was like. But then I realized how often I'm not understanding what it's like for the person that I'm looking at, that I'm walking through life next to. What would change if I allowed the power of the Holy Spirit in me to help break down walls so I could better understand people who are different than me, so that I could better understand what it's like to be homeless, so I could better understand what it's like to be an immigrant, so I could better understand what it's like to be LGBTQI, what it would be like for me to understand what it's like to be a teacher and have a classroom full of kids, what it's like to be somebody tall, somebody short, what it's like to be a teenager, because boy, being a teenager today is nothing like it was when I was a teenager, what it's like to be retired, what it's like to lose a child or a parent. I can't magically become any of these things. But what if I worked on the Holy Spirit helping me to understand through God what it's like? To be able to have compassion, to realize there's those things that make my life tougher than I would like it to be. But the person I'm looking at is in the same situation. Might be different reasons, might be different needs, but we're both in a place of need. This is what happened on that first Pentecost when God pulled people together. It was so amazing. It said crowds on the street gathered at the windows and doors so they could see what was going on. It was so powerful that even they outside were understanding people who came from different places than them. The Jews, the converts to Judaism, Gentiles that we eventually see, these walls that were breaking down. And there will always be the skeptics. There will always be those that can't accept the power of God, can't accept the power of the Holy Spirit. Here we hear their voices. Oh, it can't be God. It must be too much wine. That enthusiasm, that joy, that zeal for life that they have, it can't be God. They must be drunk. But the power of what's happening is seen right after that. Peter, I can relate to Peter. Oh my goodness. I know how many times I've said something and wish I could take it back. Peter did that several times over. Not necessarily the most mature of the disciples. Act and then think. The only one that says, "Psh, let me walk on water. You're walking on water, I want to walk on water too," right? And Jesus looked at him and said, "You're going to be the leader of my church." I think anybody that was around would have said, "Peter, have you watched what Peter's doing? Have you heard what Peter says?" And Jesus says, "Peter." But Peter, who had just denied Jesus 3 times, didn't have the strength to own his relationship with Jesus, didn't have the strength to believe that God would take care of him. But here at Pentecost, right after receiving the Holy Spirit, what happens? But those skeptics stand up and say they're too drunk. And the questioning people, even from outside, says, what does this mean? And Peter steps up, not with immaturity, not with words that he wished he could take back, but he speaks with authority, he speaks with leadership, and he speaks with conviction. It says he stands up and addresses the crowd, fellow Jews and all you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you and listen carefully to what I say. These people are not drunk as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions and your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Do you hear that voice? That's not the voice we hear in the Gospels. That's not the man we read about walking alongside Jesus. That's a man who has been transformed by the Holy Spirit to live out his call as a believer, a disciple, and a leader. On Pentecost, we remember the power of God's Holy Spirit that's not given to the chosen few, but is poured out like tongues of fire on all of God's believers. To do what? To draw us to a connection with God that cannot be broken, that's 24/7, and to draw us together as one community. Not you and me, but us. So on this day, let us celebrate another candle on the cake of the church. Another candle that reminds us of the church that worships and prays and serves and loves. A church that changes the world. A church that I know has changed me and I hope has changed you. So let's harness the power of the Holy Spirit to pull us together as one body of Christ and keep us connected with God in a way that changes who we are because of God inside of us. My friends, will you pray with me? Loving God, today truly is a powerful day. Today truly is a day where we celebrate being the church, not the church of walls and pews and classrooms, but the church of believers, the church of children, the church of singers, the church of bakers, the church of ushers, the church of teachers, the church of men and women, the church of all languages and colors, the church of all sizes and shapes, the church of all kinds of voices, that you have connected together with the power of your Holy Spirit. May we harness that power to be the reminder that you are our healer, that you are our provider, sustainer, redeemer, that you are our strength when we are weak, that you are our voice when we cannot speak, that you are the one that can give us compassion and understanding when we feel we don't have it, that you are the one that can seep love from our pores when it is needed most. May you fill us with your Holy Spirit in such a way that those around us have to ask, what is going on with them? May it happen through your power, and may it happen through our hearts that are open to receive you on this day and every day. For this we pray in your powerful and loving name. Amen.